Welcome back to No Country for Us. I'm your host, Gabriel Lobato, and today I'm joined with a past contributor to the show, Ella Walther.
Ella. Hi, I'm Ella. I'm a junior.
Yes. So last time she was on here, we discussed the baby boomer insult, which, you know, was...
I think that's kind of behind us now.
Yeah, it's behind us. It's seen better days. But today we're going to be talking about education, which is, you know, a subject that is long overdue for this show. You know, it's something that has spanned, the issues with our current education system has spanned all the way back to, I'd say, our grandparents.
Yeah, and we've even discussed this, I know, in English class, actually. We spent a whole...
Yeah, exactly. I was actually going to address that.
Rhetorical analysis and stuff, even to go over, like, past and present educational issues.
Yeah, and I was actually going to go over that later in the episode, but I was actually going to address right now ACTs. We just took them, mm-hmm. and I feel like the concept of ACTs, the concept of the SATs, the whole standardized testing thing, I think that contributes to a major portion of the problem with our current education system.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think that kind of just goes to the general topic of standardized testing and how some people are definitely better at standardized testing than others, and how a lot of people feel that maybe it's not the best representation of, you know, someone's IQ or what they know or their even, like, level of preparedness for college.
Right. And we know that the reason that they use standardized testing today is because, like, it's easily, like, measurable, easily comparable scores, but it tends to result in, you know, extremely, you get teachers that are teaching the test, not mm-hmm. actually teaching the class, which is what's, you know, more important at the end of the day.
Right. And just on the topic of SAT and, you know, ACT, I think for some people, too, who maybe don't have access to, you know, excess funds or something, like, a good way to prepare for the test is to do, you know, like, practice programs, or they take, like, they have, like, online, like, courses that can help you study, but those usually cost money, and typically it's around $90 to $100 for just, like, a simple course, which, yeah, that can really help out your grade, but, you know, for somebody who maybe they're coming from, you know, not necessarily, like, a lower background, but from not a financially, like, superior one, I think that that can sometimes be a disadvantage, and I don't see that as very fair.
Oh, absolutely. We took the free SAT just recently, and for many people, that tends to be their only attempt.
Right.
Because it costs so much money to retake it, and I think that, like you said, that puts a lot of students at a disadvantage. So I know technically we can't discuss the content of the test.
Right.
But, like, what was your experience with it? What did you find it? I know I found the actual test to be quite monotonous at times.
Yeah,
I don't know.
For sure.
I don't know how you felt. Like, what was your overall experience?
Yeah.
What was your overall testing experience?
So for me, I feel like I'm personally better at standardized testing because I'm, like, in general, I feel like whenever it comes to those types of situations, I'm usually go in there with the mindset of, you know, I'm going to try as hard as I can. If I need to retake it, I will. But I'm also able to do that financially. Like, I'm going to retake it again in April. And if I don't like my score then, even maybe June. But for other people, you know, this could be a lot more stressful for them because they don't have that opportunity. And so for me, it was, I maybe wasn't stressed out about it as much, but even the night before, like, it was hard for me to, even, like, go to sleep. And I kept waking up throughout the night because I'm like, oh my gosh, this does impact my future so much. And it's going to really determine, you know, which colleges are going to, you know, look for me or notice me and stuff like that.
I know. And it's such a big portion of, like, you know, high school in general, like, everything,
right.
It feels like everything leads up to the ACT in high school, which it really shouldn't be, because it's not indicative of how people are, it's not indicative of intellect.
Right, exactly. And I think that the material on the test, too, is everybody's in a different place also with what they're learning and with what they have learned. So, for example, like, I'm not going to go over specific questions, but on the math section, for example, like, we had just taken it, and it's kind of ironic that we're literally learning in math right now, just a few days after I took the test, material that was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm in an honors course for math, so, like, we're moving at an even faster rate. So the fact that I'm getting tested on the same material that people who maybe aren't at the exact level yet also mm-hmm. doesn't seem very fair, because, you know, maybe they are smart, but because they aren't in those classes, they're not you know, as prepared, right. even though.
Like, I know last semester I used to be in the Honors Algebra 2 class.
Yeah.
And I dropped it because, like, it was causing me too much stress. You know,
definitely feel that.
Yes, it's definitely a stressful course. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to drop down. And now it's, like, incredibly easy.
Right.
In that class. Almost too easy. But the problem now is, because I'm not learning things at an accelerated rate, it feels like some of the stuff that's on the ACT in that math section, it feels like I've lost that.
Yeah.
It feels like I haven't achieved that level of, you know, like, mathematical skill that they're asking for. And it just really...
Right.
It just really puts you... It makes you feel like you're not smart while you're taking
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I, like... Oh, sorry to interrupt for it.
No, you're good.
Okay, but that also kind of... I know... We're kind of on ACT right now, but that also does kind of bring into, like, a broader issue of mm-hmm. just the difference between taking honors level courses and just regular level courses.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the vast, I feel like sometimes the big difference in between taking those two and how for some students it might be hard to really find, like, that you belong in either because, you know, for some, even for me with some of my classes, like, the AP honors courses that I'm taking feel like they do go a little too fast for me. And maybe they're not teaching me the way that I feel like I need to be taught.
Right.
But I do want to be challenging myself so I'm not taking the regular level classes. So mm-hmm. maybe that means I'm struggling in my higher level courses. But I also do want to challenge myself to the point where, you know, I feel like I'm actually learning because I do enjoy the process of so.
Right. And then that gets into stuff like, you know, oh, God, I just lost my thought. Oh, my God. No, like, that gets into questions of, like, is it really necessary to learn the stuff that's in advanced level courses?
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I see the memes all the time, like, you know, finally get out of high school and still not using the quadratic formula.
Right.
And it's like, what is, at the end of the day, is the teaching of unnecessary stuff an issue that we're seeing in the education system, or is this just another way of trying to develop those thinking skills?
And I think in terms of just, like, educational reform, I do think a lot of people feel the same way also. But then it kind of gets down to the point, well, you know, if schools start deciding to not teach that stuff, and, like, where are you going to go if you do choose to want to learn it? You know what I mean? It's like, if you're wanting to learn, I don't know, calculus for some reason, but you're not forced to take it, mm-hmm. how then are you going to have, you know, like, where are you going to learn that information? Like, because then who's going to teach it
exactly.
if they're not, I don't know. It right. just,
and
it's
no,
a balance.
I completely understand, like, the concept of teaching on, like, we always say that, like, you know, I said right. it just a couple minutes ago that, like, you know, it's technically unnecessary. Like, when are we actually going to use this in our life? But it does build those, you know, thinking skills. So I understand the logic of actually teaching it.
Yeah.
But I think the larger issue of, you know, I think the larger issue of teaching, like, you know, things that are unnecessary is that it makes the students apathetic toward what they're learning.
Yeah, and maybe even towards learning in general, because I think that a lot of people, you know, I mean, it's just with anything, really, if you're not interested in what you're doing, you're not going to be putting your best foot forward because you don't really care about excelling in that. So I think for a lot of people, and maybe even for teachers, they get frustrated because I don't know, maybe they feel like they're not getting full attention or mm-hmm. just participation in class. But I think that for a lot of people, just standardized teaching in general just doesn't work for so many, which kind of does also lead to the question of, like, well, then how do you fix that? Like, what with public education can you do to mm-hmm. broaden to so many people?
Right. And, yeah, sometimes I also think that, like, maybe it's not exactly what we're being taught, maybe it's how we're taught. Mm-hmm. Like, for an example, you know, you mentioned it at the beginning, the English class thing, we talked about divergent thinking, this idea of laterally being able to think of many answers to one question.
Right.
And a lot of the ways they teach things in a lot of these classes is that there is one answer to one big question.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that as a problem because it teaches us to be very narrow-minded when it comes to the subjects that we're being taught
yeah.
and really how to be problem solvers altogether. In reality, in real life, you know, there is not one answer to one question. There's many answers and there's many solutions to being a problem solver.
Right. And I think that especially applies in subjects like, you know, writing and I was about to say math, which I can kind of discuss that, but with reading and stuff, it's like,
mm-hmm.
there's so many times whenever we're doing, you know, say AP multiple choice or just even like, you know, taking a test in English, and it's like the correct answer is only, you know, A, but I could argue my point as to how I interpreted the text as, you know, B, C. It's like how it doesn't really seem right to make those types of, or to like narrow our thinking down to just one answer, mm-hmm. whenever in reality, I think that we should be encouraging people, to kind of like broaden their perspective and to not be so narrow-minded. I think that that would, you know, make society maybe even like more accepting of people who think differently.
Right. And, you know, I feel like they've tried to implement that into our, into the schools. Like I remember last year back in geometry, the problem with the geometry class, it was taught as a team.
Oh, like, I did not like that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either. Cause like, I just wanted to be by myself, but then that also in some ways goes against the concept of how we learn. And, you know, that idea of like, you know, how can we teach teamwork and valuing other people's, you know, inputs on like different perspectives. I mean, like in many ways, that's how we get those different answers. But the problem was,
it's like
you were teaching it in a math class.
Right. So we were
when there is
multiple people trying to figure out, like, I don't know, it just didn't seem very productive. And I think that there was a lot of times, like, especially with math, I think mm-hmm. that you really need to let people go at their own pace because, right. you know, whenever you're dealing with things like formulas, people are able to memorize stuff differently. And so right. with that, like having four people trying to work on one problem, it's not really, you can't really utilize divergent thinking whenever you're all being taught like one way to do it anyways. Exactly. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't really see the benefit of having all four people work together.
Right. Do you think that the way like our school schedules are set up has mm-hmm. anything to do with like how we are, how we're taught? Like, when I say that, like some of the problems that come with it, like, I think, well, in English class, we discussed the problem with the bell schedules, how it almost seems factory like in nature.
Oh, that, for like, sure.
Yeah. Like, how does that contribute to the problems that we see?
I think that a lot of times, well, this is just to kind of like go off course here, just mm-hmm. for a minute. Like a lot of people are interested in block scheduling, which we mm-hmm. we experience, you know, only usually whenever we're taking finals.
I personally love block scheduling.
I know I like block scheduling too, yeah. And so to kind of connect that back, block scheduling is great in my opinion because mm-hmm. it's like I think a lot of times people, especially by like, you know, say you have a class seventh hour, you've mm-hmm. had six prior classes to that, and by the end of the day you're usually just like you've had so much like knowledge, I guess, or mm-hmm. just experiences throughout the day that can kind of take away from those classes. So say maybe for you your seventh hour is math, and you know you have a 45 minute period to try and learn the material at hand.
Yeah, your head is full.
Yeah, and so I think that having those block period classes where you get, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to focus on one subject would be really beneficial and maybe not make school feel so factory like we're going from like machine to machine to machine.
yeah no, block scheduling is, it's so good. Like the hour long portions of the day is just like the perfect amount of time mm-hmm. to get things done, because like you get your homework done.
Right.
You're able to get help that you need in the appropriate amount of time. You're not scrambling to ask questions at the last minute.
Yeah, I think honestly it would be better for a lot of people because, you know, on days that we do have block scheduling, we get to go over notes, mm-hmm. we get the homework, but then during that time, we also get personal time with a teacher, which I know a lot of people need. And, you know, teachers want to go home too. And so mm-hmm. I think requiring teachers to stay after school to help, I don't know. I'm just trying to say that I think that it would benefit teachers and students because the teachers get more time to focus on just their students mm-hmm. and the material. And students also get that benefit of like being able to ask questions and really understand the concept before they go home.
Right. So in your opinion, like if you had control over this, what kind of like changes would you implement into the school systems if you had to?
See, that's so difficult. Like, with everything that we've talked about today, I do think that that's the big problem with education reform, is that so many people learn in so many different ways that it's really hard to uniformly mm-hmm. put, I guess, or like group students together. So like even when I'll keep referring back to English, but we also referred to, you know, how we're all grouped together based on age, whenever age is not a representation of where everybody is at in terms of their ability to, you know, process and learn information. So it's like, yeah, maybe we're all born in 2003 and we're with our 2003 classmates, but, you know, we have people who are taking all AP classes who are obviously, you know, maybe a little bit better at what they're learning. Maybe they can learn at a faster rate. And there's also freshmen who are maybe also, you know, taking the AP courses who feel like they could be at a faster rate. So it's like, why are we not grouping those people together? And then, you know, instead of rushing through each person and seeing school as just, you know, grades 1 through 12, I think that it should be like, I don't know, just group us together based off of our levels of preparedness, maybe for the next curriculum before we're just thrown into it.
Right. So this is, oh my God, my question almost feels like so like oblivious to what we're talking about. But like, this has been a big discussion. I know I've discussed it with my parents. I know I've talked to different teachers about it. But, you know, that concept of cheating, we talked about it in English class.
Oh, yeah.
When they were like, it was in that video, that TED Talk that we watched, where the guy referred to, you know, why are we teaching that, you know, it goes back to the one answer thing.
Right.
And he was like, why are we saying that there's one answer and it's at the back of the book and you can't look at it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, what is the problem with teamwork? You know, that's what's valued. And I see that in the education system, a lot of the teachers encourage individual work, which is something that is not valued as much as teamwork is in the real world. And I feel like that's a stigma that needs to be changed.
I know, yeah, definitely. So for me personally, I know a lot of people maybe obviously don't feel the same way, but for me, I work better as an individual because for me, in order for me to focus, in order for me to learn, I need to figure out the material on my own. And I feel like a lot of times, well, I know, actually, I know that a lot of people probably feel this way, that whenever they're in a group setting and you're all, say you're all doing a project, there is bound to be an imbalance of work because, I mean, how many times are you going to get a paper and it's going to have exactly the right amount of questions? So say 16 questions and 4 different people so you can each split it up. Like, the chances of that happening are not likely. And even still, you miss out on the information that you learned because somebody else was too busy doing it.
Exactly.
So it's like, how are you going to learn the material? And also just people put in different amounts of effort for different things. So
So like, there's problems with teamwork then. But there's also, I definitely think there's also problems with this idea that you can't be in a team to work on something. I think it goes, like, I think it also goes of the inverse of what you said, where what about all that information that you missed because somebody else didn't point it out to you?
Right. Which, again, kind of goes to, like, divergent thinking. Like, exactly. Different perspectives help, so.
Yeah, different perspectives are so important. So, yeah.
I definitely, like, that's why I also really like discussion-based courses. Because... oh my gosh, we've said English like 80, like 80 different times. Yeah, for real. But like, I love whenever we're, say we're reading a book or something, and we have days where we just strictly discuss. I think that it honestly makes not only like our bonds closer as like a class, but also I do think, like for me especially, it's also definitely opened my mind up to different ways of thinking about a situation.
Right, exactly. I think one of the major things that has to do with like the ability to divergently think is that concept of, we need to abolish timed tests. Not saying get rid of due dates. That's different than something being timed.
Right.
Like the idea of time tests, like the ability to, because that adds a lot of pressure. Like, you know, back to the ACT thing, you know, like that's a timed test and that has a lot to do with how somebody may do on it, regardless if they know the information.
Right.
It creates a, like a rushing feeling. Nothing in, you know, nothing in the real world is a timed course.
Exactly.
I've never seen anything that is a timed, like, if you have to write this email in 30 seconds, or
how well is that email really going to turn out? Yeah,
exactly.
So, and they even, you know, whenever you're, so I prep for the ACT and even they said that, you know, if the instructor calls 5 minutes and you have 15 questions left and say there was only 40 questions, like there's no way you're going to be able to finish those.
Exactly.
And so it's like, how are you going to grade my, like, my composite ability to, you know, to complete all of this information? How are you going to judge all of what I know based off of a test that I didn't even get to fully answer and analyze because of the fact that I ran out of time, you know? So I had to guess on, say, the last 10 questions or something. It's like, that does not reflect what I know just because, say, you know, say I'm reading.
Yeah.
And it took me, you know, 10 minutes to read the passage and I really wanted to understand what I was reading. Mm-hmm. But in turn, that's going to be my downfall because I'm, like, even though I read the material and I understand it, I can't show that I understand it because I'm just guessing.
Right. You know? It becomes a game.
Yeah.
It becomes exactly a game. And I think that statement, like, of it being a game is indicative really of the entire education system. It feels like a game. It doesn't feel like an education. Yeah. It doesn't feel much like learning. It feels like I'm trying to do well on this unit to get a good grade on the next test. And then the new information moves into my head and I get rid of the information that I learned.
Which I think previously also makes people feel like school, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people don't appreciate school for what it is because they more feel of it as an obligation because they're, again, they're not interested in what they're learning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't feel heard at all. Right. And they're being forced to maybe, you know, take classes that they just don't want to, but, you know, maybe that's indicative of their future. Like, if they don't take this class, they're not going to get into the college they want. If they're not taking AP courses, they're not going to get into a higher level school to say, go to med school, go to law school, all this different stuff. And it's like, I think that to make everybody, I don't know exactly how to put it.
Right, no, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. Well, everybody out there, keep chugging away.
Do not drop out of school.
Do not drop out of school, please.
Try your best on the ACT, SAT.
Do what you can. We're all in this together. All right, well, thank you, Ella, for joining me on this episode.
Yeah,
this
thank you for amazing. Having me.
No problem. All right, tune in next time. Thank you for listening to No Country for Us. Bye-bye.